It's time to sit back and take a break with Loopback Games. Hello everyone, welcome to Break Time with Loopback Games. Marty here, and today I'm going to just have a little meandering wander through the genre of Lovecraftian board games. And now I know that there are different names for this. Some people call it the Cthulhu mythos, which is fine. Some people call it the Lovecraftian, which is fine. Some people just stick to basic horror, which is fine. I like to call it Lovecraftian mostly because Cthulhu isn't in all of them. And most of the Lovecraftian games, Cthulhu doesn't represent the center of that. So I prefer to call it Lovecraftian rather than Cthulhu mythos. So I have said before in previous episodes, probably more than once, that I am a big fan of Lovecraftian games. It's one of the biggest sections of our board game collection here, with about 20, 15 or 20. And it's also the foundation for my, hopefully my first commercially available game, Dark Rites, which I know I've spoke about before as well. So I wanted to just talk about the genre, the difficulties of it, why it's so popular, and what the future for it might hold. So let's start off with why it exists and who Lovecraft was, because maybe you don't know who Lovecraft was. So Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft, was a writer. I'm going to say it. He was mostly a pulp writer who did the majority of his work in the 1920s and the 1930s. He was inspired himself by people like Edgar Allan Poe and Robert Chambers, and a lot of their themes and ideas wove their way into Lovecraft's work. Not in a derivative or scandalous way, just one of those things. One of the key aspects that's most obvious that came through was the whole King in Yellow idea that Lovecraft has, which was actually first done by a man called Robert Chambers, who wrote a book called The King in Yellow. It's kind of Lovecraft's homage to Robert Chambers. Anyway, Lovecraft was writing these stories, and a lot of his, he had quite a difficult early life with family tragedies and personal illnesses, and he was quite reclusive. And a lot of his writing is focused on the insignificance of human existence and what's called cosmic horror, in that there are these vastly alien cosmic entities that we can never hope to even physically understand, let alone psychologically understand, who consider humanity, if they consider humanity at all, to be nothing more than perhaps an anthill on the other side of the world, how we would consider an anthill on the other side of the world. So there is a vast kind of stark horror to it. As a writer himself, he was imaginative. His writing is very flowery, purple prose, if that's a phrase anyone out there recognises. It's quite flamboyant and, I think, almost always first person. And he influenced a lot of the horror tropes, I guess, that we now maybe don't even think twice about. Certainly he influenced people like Stephen King and Anne Rice, who are two of my favourite authors, and has been a foundation of a lot of other horror stories and other horror movies and horror creators. His position as perhaps the grandfather of modern horror can't really be shaken. And we could talk hours and hours about the different influences around various different TV shows and movies and books and so on that are out there, but we're not going to do that. So as successful as his work now is, during his life it was not. He didn't die a rich man. He didn't die a famous man. It was only after that he became popular, and I think one of the reasons, one of the key reasons that he became so popular was because the majority of his work is copyright free and it's in the public domain. So you don't need permission to use it. You don't need permission to use his stories or ideas. You do have to be careful around things that are trademarked. So Chaosium has trademarked things like Call of Cthulhu. So you have to kind of be careful around that. But generally, if you want to make a game with Cthulhu in it, you can put Cthulhu in your game. So that is one key reason I think why it's become so popular. It was just a very easily accessible, complete world, if you like. But there are difficulties around this, and one of the key difficulties in relation to Lovecraft is that he was a reclusive individual. He was quite xenophobic in a sense. I think he was actually scared of people that weren't the same as him. And without wanting to beat around the bush, it's fairly obvious that he was fairly racist, probably because of a mix of the time he was living in and his own kind of fear of strangers. And that comes across in his work, not directly, but in metaphors, which I think is another reason why it's become popular, is because he spoke of these things that he was scared of metaphorically. They were creatures or aliens that weren't human, which is an awful thing when you are using that as a metaphor for other humans. There have been moves in a lot of the games now to be more inclusive and to use his creations as the creatures that they are, not for metaphors of race or cultural identity or sexuality or anything like that. And I think these are positive moves. I think this is a great thing for the board game world, well, the world at large, is to increase that inclusivity of everyone. So there are problems, but we play games to have fun, to get away from the world, and not as a social commentary, no matter how important those social commentaries are. Lovecraftian games share a lot of similarities. There is always some kind of sanity system, whether it's gaining horror or losing sanity, going mad in some way, it's always there. There is always a sense of horror, which I think is perhaps a little narrow. There are a few Lovecraftian stories that are more aimed at fantasy. I have a board game design idea which is on the back burner because I'm currently designing two board games, which doesn't leave a lot of space for a third. So there are a few more fantasy games, and there are a few that could be translated into other styles of game with horror. So talking about the styles of games, let's see what styles of games there are. There are like these big grand epic adventure-y games like Eldritch Horror, Arkham Horror, and there are living card games, the Arkham Horror card games. There was a CCG, the Call of Cthulhu card game. There are word games. Unspeakable Words is a great little word game from Mike Selinger. There is card collecting games. Miskatonic University is one. There's a version of Love Letter called Lovecraft Letter, which I think is a brilliant adaptation of Love Letter. So there is a lot of different ones. There is one game called Gates of Delirium, which is a worker placement area control card collection game, which I think is quite good, because we don't really see many worker placement games for Lovecraft, and we don't see many deck builders for Lovecraft. I've got an idea for a deck builder, Lovecraftian deck builder. Again, it's on the back burner because I have other projects that I need to finish first. So they do tend to funnel down into big epic games or card games. My own game that I'm making, Dark Rites, is a Lovecraftian game, and it's a card set collecting game. So there is certainly plenty of room for other styles of game in there and other approaches to use, which means that this genre, so some people will say that, oh, another Lovecraftian game's coming out, my God, it's already saturated. The market's already saturated with Lovecraftian games. But the idea that a market can be saturated. A market like a board game market can be saturated. There are literally thousands and thousands of board games, and Lovecraftian based ones are a micro fraction of what's out there. So no, I don't accept that Lovecraftian games are saturated in the market at all. I think there is a vast wealth of games and styles of games and approaches to board games that have yet to be made set in a Lovecraftian universe. So I'm excited about that because I love a good Lovecraftian game. One of the undoubted pillars of the Lovecraftian genre in gaming has been the Call of Cthulhu tabletop RPG, which I also love, and Arkham Horror board game, which originally came out in the 80s, which might surprise a lot of people. And those two things really built up the gaming connection to Lovecraft, I think. And obviously those things have progressed since then. So the Call of Cthulhu RPG is now in its 7th edition. And Arkham Horror, the board game, is now in its 3rd edition. And there has been various spin-offs from the Arkham Horror board game. So Fantasy Flight now own Arkham Horror board game, and they have a whole Arkham Files section, which is all set in the same universe, so you'll have shared investigators across the different games and things like that, which is really good. But they've got Arkham Horror 3rd edition, Eldritch Horror, which is still immensely popular, Mansions of Madness, which is more of a miniatures puzzle solving game. They have things like Final Hour, which is like a short, almost introductory Lovecraftian game. They have things like Elder Sign, which is a dice drafting game, all kinds of things. And they've really pushed the Lovecraftian genre, and they've developed it in ways across different areas. So they've got the board games, they've got the card game in particular, and it's fairly clear to see that one has influenced the design of the other in different ways, which has made each of the games better because they're taking design ideas from things that you wouldn't normally think about. So the future of Lovecraftian games is wide open. Like I've said, yes, there's a lot out there, but they haven't saturated the market at all. There is plenty of space in the world for more Lovecraftian games. There's plenty of things that haven't been explored in not only the style of games, like game mechanics and so on, but in the actual stories of Lovecraft. There are things that haven't been really touched on, which could be and probably will be, if not by someone else, then certainly by me. So there is a lot out there in the Lovecraft universe. Yes, there are difficulties around the racism. It's difficult to address things like sexuality and gender in Lovecraft without changing quite a lot of the concepts, but that's what we do as creators. That's what creators do. We don't just copy what other people have done. We adapt and change for the modern world, and that is one way that Lovecraftian games are really positive for me anyway. So that's been my few thoughts on Lovecraftian games and the future of Lovecraftian games. I'd love to know what you think. I'd love to know what your favorite or least favorite Lovecraftian games are, what you want to see in Lovecraftian games, or what you don't want to see in Lovecraftian games. In the meantime, stay well, stay safe, keep playing all the games, and I will see you all next time.